On the prior segment, I was talking about Abraham Maslow and the word synergy and its importance. It simply means a measurable system for evaluating the change that has taken place in people. Now, it's a materialistic event, and as I was sharing with the garden, what Eve was doing, what the woman was doing, when Satan was tempting her, she was deceived, but it was to bring her into a materialistic environment. See, the moment she said the tree was good for food, pleasing the eyes, to make one wise, the first two, she's evaluating what she was relating with, the trees that God had said, you know, you can eat of these, and finding that they were common with the forbidden tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that God said, thou shalt not eat of. And so focusing on what is common, see, that's the dialectical process, commonism, communitarianism, common in unit, unity found in what we have in common. And what do we have in common? Is our feelings of dissatisfaction from being told to do something that we don't feel like doing. That's the purpose for Maslow's hierarchy of felt needs. Now, when Jesus was tempted, he obeyed the Father. He had felt needs. You know, eating is a felt need. If you've eaten 40 days, you haven't eaten for 40 days, you realize that you had better eat something. You're not going to be around for day 41. But his response was not sharing his opinion. He didn't let his feelings guide and direct him in making decisions. He's the only obedient Son of God that walked on the face of the earth. There's only one begotten Son, but he's the only one. See, the first Adam went after feelings. He was the first humanist. He looked at Eve and he says, I like you. See, and there, and God says, why did you hearken to the voice of your wife? In other words, you rejected my voice above for her voice below. Eve was the first environmentalist. The environment stimulates pleasure, gets to the brain. The brain then, the mind looks into the environment for what stimulated it to get more of it. That's environmentalism. That's a worship of the creation. That's the lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes is looking at it. And the pride of life is that you can do what you feel like doing because you can justify it won't hurt you or won't hurt somebody else. It's good. See? Notice she said it's good, it's good, it's good. Therefore, if she says it's good and her rational mind says it's good, then it must be good. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth to be right unto man. Well, it seemed to be good. I think it's good. That's a theory. We're going to practice theory. That's what theory and practice is all about. And then it's not enough just to feel. It's not enough just to do logic. You have to do it. You have to experience it. So she had a sensuous need to touch, sense perception. She used critical theory. She analyzed, she evaluated the environment, found there was nothing wrong with the tree, and therein she was free for a sensuous experience, a sense experience. Well, see, Karl Marx said true science, now science has to be observable, repeatable, which means it's material, okay, it's of the creation. True science is sensuous experience, which is sense perception. Eve wanted to touch. She wanted to touch. And sense perception, she saw the tree, which leads or proceeds to sensuous experience, which all proceeds from nature. That's what synergy is all about. It's materialism. It's a negation of the voice of God. Now, you can use Scripture. This is used in the church. You can use Scripture, but it cannot be used in a way that it would interfere with the feelings of relationship building that comes from the process. So when Maslow writes, the problem for the accountants, it's all about change, money, is to work out some way of putting on the balance sheet the amount of synergy in the organization, the amount of time, because it's going to take time for people to dialogue to a consensus and do this over and over and over, and money, because it's going to take money to invest in the projects that they have to build, because you have to do something from this time you spent, that has been invested in getting groups to work together. It's all group think. Now, there are ministers who will say, well, Jesus had a group, but let me tell you something. He had 12 disciples. One of them, Judas, betrayed him. He really was dialectic. Satan came into him and used him, justifying, and then he killed himself. See, God doesn't say kill yourself. He says humble and deny yourself. And then the 11 become apostles. They're faithful to God, faithful to the Lord. But in their life experience, they learned to do what he told them to do. And so they were top-down patriarchal in their structure. As Jesus, you will know them by their love. You and I cannot love. Our love is always what we can get out of the situation for us. That's all that man's love can ever do. It is only God who can love. And I don't misunderstand me here. Hopefully I can make this clear. That Jesus died on the cross not because he loved you and me. He died on the cross in obedience to the Father. See, the love that you have and I have can only come from the Father. For God so loved the world, now the Father's implied, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. And so when Jesus said, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless thy will be done, his whole praxis in this life was obedience to the Father. John 17, he's talking to his Father, to our Heavenly Father, and he's going, Father, you gave me these men. You see, everything, Jesus took on the form of a man, everything he did and he had was from the Father. So when he's tempted, he doesn't share his opinion. Because if he took on the form of a man, and so if it was his love, it would be self-preservation. But he says three times, it is written, it is written, it is written. That's patriarch. Again, what my Father commands, that's what I do. He who does my Father's will is my brother, sister, mother. It's a patriarchal paradigm. Destroys synergy, folks. And here's what synergy is then. Now, this is Abraham Maslow. You go into the big church, the mega church, the emergent church, and they're using these terms. He says, this is to identify with more and more of the world, moving towards the ultimate of mysticism, a fusion with the world, or peak experience, cosmic consciousness. So this isn't just some little exercise that we're going through, folks. This is serious, serious ramifications in the praxis of the dialectical process. It is anathema. It is an enemy to God and his word. Now, Maslow reflects his attitudes towards patriarchal thinking people, the patriarchal paradigm. Again, Jesus was patriarchal. And, of course, the social engineers, they use like to use derogative terms, and they'll say authoritarian. Theodore Adorno wrote a book, The Authoritarian Personality. It was all about analyzing American culture to find a tool where you could identify along a spectrum those who were didactic on one side and those who were dialectic on the other side and those who were in transition. So move from tradition through transition over to transformation. And on the traditional side, he called them authoritarians. They're obeying their parents. And he called them potential fascists. Because, see, if you finally lose faith in God, you've still got this structure looking to higher authority for direction. And therein, you'll look for a man, and i.e., that's Hitler. Now, that's been proven false, but that doesn't change anything. The UN drools over Theodore Adorno's book, Authoritarian Personality. Bloom's taxonomy, every certified teacher in your community, even if you have your children in a Christian school, if it's accredited, it's built on Bloom's taxonomy. If your teacher is certified, Christian teacher, they're trained on Bloom's taxonomy. It is anathema to the Word of God. And they can say, well, no, we have Scripture in the class. Well, Satan knows Scriptures. He quoted the Word of God to Jesus himself. The whole attitude of Bloom's taxonomy is the destruction of a patriarchal paradigm. It will destroy, the process will destroy your child's obedience to your authority. And so here's the spirit. If you really want to know where this road's taken us, you can see it already. He says, I have found whenever I run across authoritarian students that the best thing for me to do is break their backs immediately. Well, these are nice people, see. They say, we really care about you. We care about your children. This is Child Protective Services. This is a foundation, folks, of all those government agencies out there just that were tax dollars are supporting these people to come into our homes and help us. Well, they're helping themselves to us, to our children, to our property, to our rights. And it's a result, though, because of our courts, see, rejecting a limited form of government, our presidents rejecting a limited form of government, our legislators rejecting a limited form of government, and embracing this attitude. You notice during the McCarthy era that there were the Marxists, the communists, who were brought before our legislators, and they tried to lecture the legislators. And the legislators who had an office of authority had to deal with them as you deal with rebellious children. See, and so they couldn't spank them. Some of them were deported. But they had to have them escorted out of the room. They had complete contempt. Complete contempt. See, Marx said, annihilate. Annihilate. That's a powerful word. Annihilate the patriarchal paradigm. Because if you can do it to the government, and in our form of government was limited in the sense that you had a dividing of the branches. Judicial, executive, legislature, they're all separated. You had that in the federal, in the state, you had that in the counties, but there was one place it wasn't done. It was the home. The father was the legislator and the executive and the judicial. And a wife had her part too, but it was all a top-down system. Husband's rule, desire of the heart of the wife is to her husband. If it's to her children and to herself, that's dialectic. That's called a matriarchal paradigm. It'll destroy the patriarchal paradigm in the home. And so the whole agenda was to destroy the traditional home, because the traditional home maintains a people. It produces in the next generation an understanding of good government, of limited government, of self-control, government under law. And so when Maslow says, the first thing I do when I come across authoritarian students, first thing I do when I come across Jesus, the first thing I do when I come across a believer in my classroom, that the best thing for me to do, this is the best thing, was to break their backs immediately. He then writes, the correct thing to do with authoritarians is to take them realistically for the bastards they are, and to behave towards them as if they were bastards. See, a bastard is somebody who is irrelevant. When Eve looked at the tree and she says it's good for food, pleasing the eyes, desires to make one wise, and she ate of it, God's word, his paradigm, his top-down system became irrelevant. She embraced materialism. She worshipped the creation rather than the creator. Then Maslow says, in a democratic society, the tyranny of the masses, why? They're following their feelings. Once you get a whole society based on feelings, all the entertainment, you know, the circuses of the of Caesar, you know, feed the masses, entertain them. And we've had this for decades. And if somebody removes their entertainment, then they don't know what to do with themselves. They can't think. They have no self-control and self-discipline. And so that's the tyranny of the masses. In fact, a traditional home is training their children, the next generation, in standing against tyranny of the masses. And so when you have Bloom's taxonomy in our school systems for the last 40, 50 years, we now have tyranny of the masses. We have a whole culture that's just chasing after dopamine. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Loving the creation rather than the creator. That's a democratic society. In a democratic society, a patriarchal culture should make us depressed. instead of glad. See, fear of God. This is all Mark said. Religion is an opiate. What is the opiate? People just blindly have faith and do what God tells them to do. They fear God. They have this negative valence of a forbidden object. See, this fear, this dread that, you know, I had better not do what my parents told me to do. I better not do what God told me to do because there's a cause and effect. And he says, when people have, Maslow says, when people have that way of thinking, it should make us depressed instead of glad. It is an argument against the higher possibility of human nature, of self-actualization. And then he writes, salvation is a byproduct, a result of self-actualization duty. Now, what that means is, if you have a business, and you're prospering for yourself in the name of the Lord, you're doing your best for the glory of God, and it's your private business on your private property, and you're prospering, and you're not supporting the socialist cause. You're just saying there's right and wrong, and you're producing neurosis, and you're not going down to the town hall meeting and giving up your property and your time and voluntarism for the social cause. See, then you are out of touch with the times. You're neurotic. You're practicing neurosis, and you're probably contaminating others with that patriarchal way of thinking. And so therein, you're lost. You're irrelevant in a society, and they care about you. So their whole agenda is to pull you in. As Adorno said, we have to use social environmental forces. In other words, the village and the rejection of you. They might not physically attack you, but, you know, I call it excommunication without writ. This is what's happened in church growth, emerging church. Very same pattern. And therefore, there's enough pressure on you that the only way you can find salvation is in the group. See, your salvation is no longer found in Christ, in God, in obedience to God. We are to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. No, our salvation is found in the working for Christ. See, it's in the work now. All the workers of the world unite. And so when he says salvation is a byproduct of self-actualization duty, only if you're working for the village, only if you're gleefully giving up your time and your money for this process, the dialectical process, for the sake of social harmony and world peace, you know, the dream of a better world in this life. If you're not doing that, you can't be saved. So we find a very caustic process, folks, going on across our nation, very destructive to right and wrong way of thinking. Well, as I've said, I've been trying to go through Bloom explaining, Maslow explaining this diabolical process. He writes on Maslow and Management. Abraham Maslow, he says, human evil is an acquired or reactive kind of response to bad treatment of the individual. And so the key was to look into the home, the traditional patriarchal home, because that was the source of neurosis. Now, I focus a lot on the home, because without a husband that rules, and he rules under God, and the wife, the desire of her heart to her husband, and children obeying their parents and the Lord, that next generation has not developed a strong, clear conscience. Now, that doesn't mean that the standards and the rules that mom and dad are teaching children are right. See, they might be tyrants in an office. The office is right. Now, when Jesus said, I have not come to bring peace but a sword. I'm going to divide the father from the son, the mother from the daughter, the mother-in-law from the daughter-in-law. He was not destroying the office. He was simply saying God is greater than the parent. God is greater than the laws of the parent. God is the highest authority. So in Romans 13, when you read about yield to the higher authority, it's not power, because if it's power, then, you know, that's the sword. Then whoever has a sword, you better do whatever he tells you to do. Counter even to God's word, counter to the laws of nature, counter to your own conscience. No, the real Greek word is authority. All authority is of God. So if he's in that office using it for himself, and he's against God's law, against your conscience, against the laws of nature, then you have, and the laws of nature, I mean, are those inalienable rights, unalienable rights given to you by God. God who has set laws in nature, in your nature, not the lust of the flesh, but your nature. See, Paul says, with my mind, I love the law of God. So you have a nature to look above you for direction, to guide and direct you. It is not in man to direct his steps. And so it's important, again, folks, that we understand the importance of the family. The social engineers did. Satan did. Because his whole agenda is to destroy this top-down patriarchal system that is developed in the traditional home. Now, I've just written an article, just put it up on my website, entitled Civil Disobedience and then Side Effects. And it's a subject that I came across a doctoral dissertation by a man who had written it for his doctoral degree. And it was about Martin Luther King Jr. and his use of the dialectical process. Now, I didn't write it to attack any person, because we're all condemned already. You know, only those in Christ are not condemned. But I am exposing the effect of civil disobedience upon the home. Direct correlation. It destroys the home. You cannot do civil disobedience without destroying the patriarchal culture in all cultures. Because there is a patriarchal paradigm in all cultures. God said, take the gospel into all nations. The gospel is patriarchal in structure. And therefore, if you have a culture that's intact, then they'll say, oh, I understand this. God chastens those he loves. My parents do it for their own pleasure, but God does it now for my eternal soul's sake. That's a good deal. You know, I understand the pattern. So what they did was, these social engineers, is if we destroy the pattern, see, we don't believe in God, but what Martin Luther King Jr. did, he said, well, we're not going to get rid of God like Marx. What we're going to do is we're going to redefine God. We're going to limit his power so that he shares his power with you and me. Therein, we have the right to challenge not the tyrants in office, but the very patriarchal office itself. The right to challenge the Constitution of the United States of America. The right to use civil disobedience, which means that you're not trying to remove the tyrant. Again, what you're doing is you're destroying the governmental system itself, because it's irrelevant. It's the same pattern, dialectical pattern, that Satan got the woman to practice in the garden, Genesis 3:1-6. And the outcome, though, is if you practice this as a young man, doesn't matter race. It's not a race issue, folks. Now the race issue is important. How people are treated is important. We are to love one another. That certainly was not the praxis, even from the religious in this nation. Still isn't. Do you realize that in the emergent church and the church growth movement, that there is a hate? It is expressed again. When you instruct somebody in righteousness, in right and wrong thinking, and they glaze over. Now, the reason they're glazing over is that you're irrelevant, but deep down, they hate you. They hate you because they want to praxis this process with you, and you're bringing, quote-unquote, condemnation on them. And so it's a hidden hate. But folks, after a while, once there is power behind it, this is the persecution of the church. Right now, it's excommunication without writ. In other words, people just aren't talking to you. But once the church and the government go in partnership on this dialectical pattern, it's all-out ruthless attack upon anybody who thinks and praxises didactically. And this is the persecution that is coming. It's already been going on, but it's going to increase as the world pursues the love of pleasure. See, to endure to the end is not a dopamine moment. And the only way you can endure is to walk in Christ, deny yourself, that's private, pick up your cross, that's public, both of those, you're putting aside your natural inclination to inquire into the environment, to find out what produced pleasure because you want more of it, you deny that pattern. You do like Jesus in the wilderness. If God tells you to go out there for 40 days and fast, and not in 40 days you're ready to die, and then your reasoning goes, man, if I don't get some food, I'm dead here. I can turn that stone into bread. But Jesus' response is, it is written, it is written, it is written. Man doesn't live by bread alone. In other words, there's a higher voice. It's just not this flesh, not this earth, not this world. It is not in me. Jesus is actually saying that. It is not in me to direct my steps. It is not in me to direct my path. See, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Then he's the one who directs your steps. So what did he do? He acknowledged his father. My dad says, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds from the mouth of God. So his love, his purpose, everything in his life as he walked on this earth was given to him by his father, patriarch. And then he was shown the kingdoms of the world. That's esteem. Wow, look how important you are. I'm willing to give you a whole world if you bow down and worship me and my pattern of human relationship building. Join the UN. That's what Satan was doing with Jesus. Join the UN. Join the Council of Foreign Relations. Join the community group hug and the voluntarist program for the sake of the world. And Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship. Then he took him to the pinnacle and said, you know what? God's promised that you're going to be protected. You can do whatever you want, and you're okay. I'm okay, you're okay. And Jesus' response is, don't tempt God. He loves you, and he loves me, but he's not coming one inch our way. He's not dialoguing with the flesh. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, this is Dean Gocher. I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and let him be the one who directs your steps. Get on my website, authorityresearch.com. Check out the latest article and pray for one another. Pray for this nation. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and let him exalt you at the proper time.